Representative Mike Pitts is, I understand, on his way to Columbia and is calling us on the phone. How you doing today, Mike Pitts?
I'm doing very well. I hope you are.
We are. We are. We had, I don't know about you, we had some power outages across Greenwood. How about over there in Lawrence?
Did. Every home around me was out. Luckily, I have a generator, so mine flicked and came back on.
Well, there you go, the smart man right there. And, of course, Mike Pitts, you are going back down there to Columbia to deal with the vetoes that the governor put forth. Now, I understand originally you guys weren't going to go back till September. What made for the change?
Well, we weren't going back until September, according to what she actually vetoed. The plan was if the governor vetoed certain things that could create an issue if we didn't return earlier, we would return. If she did not, then we would go back in September.
Okay.
And she did veto some things that we needed to come back sooner on rather than later.
Absolutely. Now, of course, I'm sure you've been approached by your constituents on how they feel about the vetoes. What can you tell us, Mike?
Well, constituent calls are running high on, for me in particular, on three categories, but for those of us that I've talked with across state on two. One is the pay raise for teachers. We're getting a lot of calls from and emails on that, but most of those are coming from the education community itself, and who are my constituents. And then the other one is the arts veto. And on the arts veto, there's a huge misunderstanding by the public on that one. They've done, they being the Arts Council, has done a very good job of getting a message out. But I think over the course of time, the public's going to become aware that the message was tainted.
And so you're saying that, what exactly do you mean by that, Mike?
Well, what I mean by that is the governor tried to work with the director of the Arts Council to do some, make some changes, and they refused to do anything. For one, they have a huge expense in rental property in a in office space, and the governor asked them to move in to the state museum building where office space was available, and they refused to do it. The second thing is she asked them to look at paring down the number of employees they have, and they refused to talk to her on that also. So she vetoed the Arts Council. Now, the Arts Council itself has a mission, and the mission is simply to oversee and award grants, like all the other commissions out there that have grant ability. And in a meeting this past week, I found out they have 22 employees.
Wow.
Don't really think they need 22 employees to oversee and issue grants. Now, here's where the problem comes in, and here's where the problem, the rubber meets the road, is that those grants are actually awarded to our local arts folks, whether it be in the public schools or whether it be our Arts Council in Greenwood and Lawrence and performing arts and those kind of things.
Sure.
And if we do not override this particular veto, then it creates a problem of getting that money down to those organizations. So I think my stance is going to be at this point to vote to override the veto, but it's going to be to send a very firm message to the Arts Council. Listen to the governor and get your act in line, because I fully intend to address this as we go into budget in this coming year.
Sure. So you think that the veto should be overrode, but really there should be some qualifiers.
Absolutely. I think, and I'm basing that on the fact that I think I want the money. Well, I don't think I know. I want the money that's there for grants to reach its target. But this is another example of where it's too heavy at the top and it needs to be pared down. The governor tried to do that and they didn't listen. And they did, like I said, they did a good job of getting a message out, but it was a tainted message. You're gonna kill the arts. Well, we don't intend to do that. It's vital in economic development, but not to mention quality of life in the state of South Carolina. But we do need to get that group under control. And I think that's the feeling, it's the feeling of most of the subcommittee chairs that I've talked with, that basically the Arts Council thumbed its nose at the governor when she tried to bring them in line, and I think they'll get a message sent back to them today.
Absolutely. Now, moving on to the pay raises for teachers. She vetoed the money coming in. You want to explain that one to us?
Yeah, it's approximately $10 million that was put in, and her veto is not in regard to raises for teachers. The governor agrees, as did the General Assembly, that the raise is necessary. The reason the governor vetoed it was based on the fact that it was one-time monies. And we did the one-time monies because it was there, it was available, and we had to put some of the recurring monies in other places. Anticipate that the growth will be there next year, natural growth, to cover that gap. But the thing was, local your local school boards needed that money to be able to do the step increases and everything else that was required of them at the same time without raising property taxes. That was the reason we did it. I met with the governor last Thursday and told her that this was one I had to override. I said, the teachers haven't had a raise, state employees haven't had a raise, and we need to try to adjust that. My problem, I understand the public sector and the private sector have both suffered in this economy. The problem is we're starting to lose teachers to burnout. We're starting to lose teachers to some other stuff. We need to put that raise in there. And the governor agrees with that. She just disagrees with how we did it. Governor and I had a discussion about two or three things like that. One was for, I'll give you an example. One was IT upgrade for Department of Natural Resources, and that comes under the subcommittee. And we put money in there to upgrade the equipment. And you know, in the business you're in, that IT and electronics is an ever occurring expense, just not just a recurring expense, but an ever occurring.
Yeah, it never ends with IT, is what I see.
Well, the thing here is, I serve on the other funds oversight committee too, and having serving on all these budget oversight committees has given myself and the other House members that serve on these committees a very good insight into some problems in state government. And here's one: every agency we have comes back to the other funds committee every year asking for money just to put Band-Aids on their IT systems.
Sure.
And this year, as a subcommittee chair group in our budgeting addressed that issue. And, for example, in criminal indigent defense, $100,000 was put in for IT upgrade. DNR, Department of Natural Resources, there was a little over $200,000 put in for IT upgrades. Now, because of breakdowns and everything else, we're spending 10 times that much in other funds just to prop the system up. So I think we would be better off to spend the money on the front side, repair the system, then go to the backside and have to put millions instead of thousands to keep a system running. Now, what does that mean to my constituents out there that are listening? It means if the DNR system goes down, there's no hunting, fishing license going out. There's no boat titling that can be done until the system's repaired. And the system is so old and antiquated that very little repair equipment is available out there.
So did you had this conversation with the governor on this issue?
I did, and the reason she vetoed the IT for the Department of Natural Resources was because her budget and our budget was separated by a few thousand dollars. What they told us that they needed and justified before the subcommittee during vetting process was more than the governor had awarded them to do it. And that, in my opinion, this is what got us in the situation we're in to begin with, not funding it and taking care of the problem and moving on to the next problem.
Now, Mike, when it comes down to voting on these vetoes, will you actually take line by line on the vetoes and y'all will vote to override or not override? Is that how this works?
That's correct. And I've got to give the governor credit on this issue. The governor's not loaded us down with 200 to 300 vetoes. She actually went through the budget and came up with a list of her vetoes that follow a specific pattern.
And do you think that specific pattern is?
Well, the specific pattern is her vetoes came in one-time monies, and her vetoes came in higher education, and she based that on the fact that, or according to what I was told, she based it on the fact that they being the universities, not paying much attention generally, and the governor's office on tuition increase. They keep hiking tuition, especially the two major universities, Clemson and Carolina.
Absolutely.
And that's where I've got to send kudos to our local university. Lander has been one of the few that listened to the General Assembly and held it in check.
Well, so you feel that we should take that $10 million and use it towards raises?
Pardon?
I said you feel we should take that $10 million and it should be used towards raises.
In K-12, I absolutely do. And in higher ed, some of her vetoes there, I think, will be upheld. Her pattern also was earmarks. She vetoed earmarks almost across the board.
That's not surprising, is it?
Pardon?
I said that's not surprising, is it?
No, it's not. And I sent warnings out early on in the budget session and in the vetting process to the agencies that come, 12 agencies come under my subcommittee, and I sent the message out. Don't bring me unnecessary things. Keep your non-recurring monies to non-recurring expenses as much as possible, and also no earmarks.
Yeah.
But, and that's the way we operated. Now, she vetoed a great many earmarks, and just bluntly, they came from the Senate side.
Okay. Well, I'll be talking to Floyd Nicholson this afternoon. I'll have to ask him about some of those. Mike, what about the Genetic Center, Genetic Center here in Greenwood? What about that one right there?
I told you early that there were three that I was getting a lot on. Personally,
right,
and I'm getting a lot of calls on the Genetic Center up close. And several years ago, Billy O'Dell and I met with Dr. Stevenson and the folks at the Genetic Center to take a look at a plan to bring them more into the arena with the three research universities.
Sure.
And we developed an idea out of that, and they've done very well with it. And the reason that they met with myself and Senator O'Dell was the fact that Billy serves on Senate Finance and I serve on Ways and Means. We've met regularly with the entire delegation in that respect with the Genetic Center. So I'm very familiar with them. The only problem with the Genetic Center is when I go over to meet with those folks, I have to ask them to dumb it down about 12 notches so I can understand what they're saying. They're brilliant. Those folks, the scientists you have over there, are doing world-class work. One of the biggest things that I can use in promotion is spinal bifida, which is a birth defect that affects South Carolinians at an extremely high rate compared to the rest of the nation. They've solved the problem with that.
Wow.
They treat people from across the nation. And they have unlocked keys to a variety of other things that affect our daily lives and the medical expenses of the people of this state. And $2 million in there, moving an endowed chair from Clemson University for research over to the Genetic Center, does two things. One is it brings a spotlight to an already world-class facility and the work they're doing. The second thing is it ties them directly in with the three research universities, which is a huge, huge benefit to the state of South Carolina, to the nation, and to my constituents in particular.
Now, Mike, you spoke with the governor. Did you speak to her about this issue?
I did. And I told she had already gone by the time I got to this issue. She had another meeting, and I was meeting with her staff at that point. And I told them up front that I would be voting to override this and why. As a matter of fact, I went down the list with every veto on the paper and told them which ones that I would definitely be voting to override, which ones I would definitely be voting to sustain.
What do you think about the Genetic Center one, Mike?
Pardon?
What do you think about the Genetic Center vote there? How do you think that one will go?
I think we override in the House.
And the Senate?
I have no idea. I haven't talked to anyone other than Billy, and I know that Senator O'Dell will be working to override.
Absolutely. Now, any other major ones that stick out in your brain that we should be discussing here this morning?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. There's money in there that you didn't veto that's very good. There's a study for the Savannah River Basin that we've worked in conjunction with Congressman Jeff Duncan on. He has worked to help make that study come to fruition. And we've done our part on the state side with providing the matching funds, and the Department of Natural Resources is doing their part in providing manpower so it didn't cost the state money, so or matching fund money. So that's one that I was very proud she didn't veto. The governor understands the Savannah River Basin and what it's means that part means to the upstate, especially with Atlanta looking at Lake Hartwell as a water supply source.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there's the new issue about having a port up here in Greenville-Spartanburg.
Well, that's true. And that's something, you bring up a good point, Ann, because that was one of the big debate points with the subcommittee chairs. And that was the subcommittee being the Ways and Means subcommittee chairs during this process. And that was funding the port, the deepening of the port. People in the upstate do not understand. Well, I won't say they don't understand. I think they truly do. I just don't think they're extremely vocal about it. They simply do understand. And that's what the port itself means to the entire state, not just to Charleston. When we put money in there for deepening the harbor, that's not just a Charleston item. That's a state item, and actually a southeastern regional item. And here's the way that flows: if we don't deepen the harbor to get those new mega ships into the harbor, Savannah is going to. Now we have a better harbor. It is a better shielded harbor. And it has been one ever since the founding of this country. And if we deepen that harbor, we can get the mega ships in, we win in the shipping issue. What does that mean to the upstate? It means BMW, it means Michelin, and a variety of other manufacturers can get their products to market. Straight down I-26, 385 to I-26, straight down 26 to Charleston to ship out of the Charleston Harbor. What would the harbor be up here? It would be a transfer point, and that's a good thing.
Right, and that was a new issue that just kind of popped up there. I wasn't aware of it, and then there it was, something everybody was talking about.
Well, what we did was put $300,000 in, $300 million in to cover the deepening project. Now, the feds are in the ball game too, and I certainly do not anticipate all $300 million having to be used. So the way we structured that is it's there if we have to do it. If South Carolina has to stand alone and deepen a harbor that benefits the entire nation, then that's what we intend to do, because it's our harbor and it's so vital to the economy of this state, especially to the manufacturing base, which is the upstate.
Absolutely.
And if that money's not used, and I don't anticipate it being used, then it is in a trust fund that we can use in the future if we need to, a reserve account. Not a trust fund, but a reserve account.
Absolutely. So, Mike Pitts, how long do you anticipate y'all are going to be down there?
I don't know how long we will be. I know how long I've got to be. I've got meetings today and tomorrow both. That's why I'm headed in early. We don't actually go in session until 1, but I have an ethics meeting at 10:30. And then tomorrow there's agency heads and some other committee meetings that I have to serve on. I anticipate the vetoes being done today. I don't think it will take very long on most issues. I think there will be debate on a handful, and when I say a handful, maybe 10. Now, someone will come to the podium to argue the point on the earmark.
Okay. All right, Mike, I think you're starting to break up. Listen, I appreciate you calling in this morning, and we'll be watching and see how this all turns out. Thanks so much for calling us this morning, Mike Pitts.
Thank you for allowing me. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day. God bless. Be safe out there.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.